We get things rolling this afternoon by welcoming back to the show veteran reporter, anchorman, News Center, WCSH TV in Portland, WLBZ in Bangor, Pat Callahan joining us. Pat, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rich. Good to be with you again.
Nice to have you back. Last night, the state of the state, the first one in 2 years for Governor Paul LePage. And am I wrong? Apparently, he decided to use both speeches, including the one he didn't use last year. There seemed to be two different ones going on there.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a problem. Anytime you critique a speech, you can say it could have been cut by 20 minutes. This one certainly could have. My understanding is they were adding things as late as 3 and 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. So what was going to be 45 minutes turned into 75. But it's true, there were two different tones taken. One of the things we've known about Governor LePage over the last 6 years is that, he doesn't hold back. He gives people both barrels and often can do so in, if not hostile, then a belligerent way. And, for example, last year when he submitted just a written state of the state message to legislators, he kept referring to them as socialists. So this time he dropped the socialist, and it was liberals became the dirty word. So for much of the first 10-15 minutes of the speech, he was going on about how liberals have hijacked the referendum process. Now, it's clear he's unhappy with the results of several of the referendum questions of last fall and thinks the process needs to be reformed. And yet, over what we've seen over the last few weeks is a Paul LePage who's seems to be trying to stay on message more, being a little more disciplined when he has his town hall meetings. He's been, even when people are a little aggressive with him, he's been taking the approach of, here's my point of view. Here's why this is a good idea. That's a good way to go. You want to get people on your side, make your case, and do it in a respectful way. Once he got over in the speech last night, the part about blaming liberals for the downfall of society, he sort of was more inclusive. He said, let's work together and let's do no harm. So that's the Paul LePage that I think can accomplish something more in his last 2 years.
Yeah, he was very conciliatory in the last half of the speech, reaching out to Troy Jackson as well, and they have certainly not had the greatest relationship in the past. Is this...
No, LePage once accused him of having a black heart. He was
right.
The one who was doing terrible things to the state of Maine without lubricant, so...
Is it an attempt for Paul LePage to get something done, but also to make sure that he's got some kind of a legacy in the final 2 years?
I think that's a big part of it. He knows people remember how you finish maybe more than how you start, and he's only got 2 years left in which to accomplish a lot of the things he's been talking about for the last 6 years in terms of tax reduction, welfare reform, lowering energy costs, cutting the cost of education. So he hit on all of those things last night. And again, presenting them mostly in a way that is a better sell, if you will, to people who are not already in his corner. For example, when he talked last night about welfare reform, he made the point of saying, we're not trying to throw people off welfare. We want to give them the skills to get and keep jobs and make a good living and contribute to the economy. Well, looked at it only through that lens, that's something hardly anybody could disagree with. That's something that people want. The devil will be in the details of what he has in mind of how, what kind of reforms he's going to make, and in a way that doesn't look like you're just being cruel and taking people, throwing them off for without a good reason.
He's spoken quite a bit about the referendum questions and the need for reform there. It's certainly a process that allows voters to directly influence things, especially if you have a legislature that they view as not getting things done. Is there a problem that he's legitimately touching on here with the way this referendum system is working?
It's possible, and again, he hasn't spelled out what he wants to change. It's possible there maybe we need more signatures. Perhaps there needs to be something to regulate this idea of paying people to gather signatures, because we've seen some of these, like the casino questions, often tend to be backed by single interests with a lot of money. And, it's not that hard to get signatures if you have enough people roaming the streets of Maine's towns and cities, but isn't always in the best interest of the state. On the other hand, really, he only has to look in the mirror for why the questions that passed last fall, the minimum wage and the surtax on high incomes to pay for education, passed. It's because he and the legislature failed to act on those things. They could have come up with a minimum wage plan that was more, they might have been more to their liking in terms of how much it went up and if there were exemptions for different parts of the state, whatever it is they wanted. But they didn't do it. So the people who felt, no, we need a raise, they went out and did it themselves. And really, you can't blame the people for that. If you won't act on my behalf, then I'm going to do it myself.
We're talking with Pat Callahan here on Downtown. He certainly got my attention last night when he talked about paying teachers more. How's he going to do that?
Well, it's an interesting idea, and he didn't get into too much detail last night, but he has spoken in the last month or so about the idea of a statewide teacher contract. It's without a doubt, it's harder to get and keep quality teachers in some rural parts of Maine when those districts can't afford to pay what Portland or Bangor can pay. So what they're looking at is having the state pay all teacher salaries, make it a one statewide teacher contract, and then let the cities and towns pay the rest of the freight for education in the way they wish to through local control. Now, you know, we don't know how the MEA, the Maine Education Association, is going to come down on this. And he admitted last night, without them, this can't get done. But it is an interesting idea in terms of trying to have equitable pay levels around the state. And so everybody gets the quality teachers that schools need. So I think it's something you'll hear a lot of discussion about. And you know, perhaps this is something that can get some traction for him.
Pat, for a guy who came into the office talking about changing the business climate, changing the sign as people entered the state of Maine, ultimately, will Paul LePage be judged by his ability to bring jobs and new business into Maine?
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, we've certainly seen, as the economy improves generally nationally, that Maine does better. You know, he's making the case, for example, that a lot of businesses and professional people will leave now that our taxes have gotten too high. If he can, in fact, find some way to mitigate that, perhaps, you know, if jobs continue to grow under that scenario, he gets to say so. But, you know, it's always a tough nut to crack to keep industries in all of Maine because of, well, there's all sorts of factors, the differences between the rural and more urban parts of the state. So I think the jury's out on it.
Pat, let's get away from the news for a moment. When you come on, I always like to talk about some of the other things you're interested in. What's on your Absolutely. Concert list for the spring and summer this year?
You know, actually, I haven't locked anything in, though I was tempted. I saw that the Chicago and the Doobie Brothers are doing a tour. I think they're stopping nearby, and that'd be fun. But I haven't seen a full list of what's playing in Maine yet. So we need to get some good shows, both in Portland and Bangor, that some of us that will be worth the trip.
Absolutely. What's the best movie you saw last year?
Well, the best movie I've seen lately, I don't know about all of last year, but Hidden Figures, which I saw about 3 or 4 weeks ago, about the African-American women who worked for NASA and were the ones, before you had computers, who did all the calculations for spaceflight before we knew it was possible. And it's a fascinating story, and it's so uplifting. And the thing I came out of the movie with asking, I don't know if you've seen it or not.
No, I haven't, not yet.
But I asked myself, I hope all of that is true, especially the stuff about John Glenn, who recently passed away, because he was so gentlemanly toward them and so supportive. Mm. And there's a scene in the movie where they're waiting to know if he can launch or not. He's going on the first orbital flight. And the numbers that they get from two different sources, including a new computer, don't match. And he says, get that smart girl to do it. If she says it's okay, then I'm going. And, you know, apparently that's at least a dressed up version of what actually happened. And I would urge you to see it. Even if you're not that interested in the space program, which I've always been, it's just a really uplifting film.
I will have to see it because I'm embarrassed to tell you what a space geek I am. That there was a time I could tell you every member of every crew from Mercury through
Apollo.
I think
that's our generation, Rich. I think, you know, it was such a big deal when we were growing up, and it was they were heroes you could look up to. And we talked about this on the air on NewsCenter when John Glenn passed away a month or so ago, about what it meant to people of our generation. There aren't that many true American heroes that everyone can agree on, and John Glenn seemed too good to be true. And yet he was. And he was a guy, not only an astronaut, but as I came to learn later in my life, that he was a fighter pilot, and one of his wingmen was Ted Williams.
Right.
I mean, come on, think about that. two of the great icons of America flying missions together in Korea. And then to getting to meet John Glenn when he was running for president, I had to admit, was a big thrill. And you almost, it can be difficult when you have your journalistic responsibilities to report without fear or favor, but come on, man. It's John Glenn.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, did your crew make it all back in one piece from Houston?
They did. I asked Lee Goldberg, if he'd stolen Tom Brady's jersey, and he would not confirm nor deny that report. So I want to look in his luggage. I want to see if it's there.
They're
back, and I thought they did a terrific job all week long before the Super Bowl. And I got to tell you, like a lot of people sitting watching that game, I know how good the Patriots are, but when you get late in the third quarter and they're down as far as they were, I said, it can't happen. But then you say, if anybody can do it, they can. But I had actually, and I don't like to be a fair weather fan, but late in the first half, when Brady threw that pick six, I shut the TV off. I said, I'm coming back after halftime. I can't watch any more of it right now. I don't want to see Lady Gaga. I just want to come back and see what they can do in the second half. And it worked out fine. So
yeah. Worked out great. And Gaga was pretty good, too.
That's what I hear. So probably too bad I missed that. But it was what I needed. I needed to calm down.
There you go. You did what you had to do. You played your small role, but important one, in helping the team win.
Sure. You do it. We all have our superstitions. You do what you have to do. I have my dog was wearing his New England Patriots collar. My wife said at one point, should we take the collar off him? Is he bad luck? I said, he could never be bad.
No,
you got to leave it on.
Pat, it's always fun talking with you. Thanks for making time for us this afternoon, and we look forward to it, doing it again before too long.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Rich.
Pat Callahan, WCSH-TV, WLBZ News Center.